This is your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Happy New Year, everyone. Today, women workers in California make 84 cents to every dollar owned by a man. Several new California laws are effective on January 1st. One is California Senate Bill 358, which is considered the nation's strongest equal pay law for women. On this segment of Your Legal Rights, we'll talk about equal pay for women and other new California laws for the protection of all workers. My guests are employment law attorneys who've been on this program several times. Thomas Lenz, a partner in the Cerritos, California law firm of Atkinson, Adelson, Loya, Rood, and Romo. He's also a member of the Executive Committee of the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar of California. My other guest is Scott Stillman, the senior counsel in the San Francisco law firm of McGuinn, Hilsman, and Pilevsky. It is also for those of you who are listening to the live program. We're doing this on December 30th. And in the evening, Pacific time, 7 p.m., it's our Call a Lawyer night. If you'd like, you can talk to one or more attorneys by calling 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. And again, if you're listening to the live program on December 30th, in about 25 minutes, I'll invite you to call in and talk with my guests on the air. And that toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding is provided by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Tom and Scott, welcome to the program. Great to have you both back here.
Thanks.
Great Scott, thanks, Chuck.
Start with this thing about equal pay for women, would you?
Sure. The equal pay statute, it's not a new law. In fact, it's actually been on the books since 1949. But despite that being a law for over half a century, as you mentioned in the opening, women in California today are still making significantly less than men. You mentioned 84 cents to every dollar earned by a man. The problem is even worse for women of color, where African-American women and Latina women are making 64 and 44 cents, respectively, to every dollar earned by a white male. So it's a real problem, and it's something that the legislature and the governor have tried to address in making amendments to this 1949 statute. There's a lot of amendments that were made to the statute. I want to focus on three of them tonight, and these are really attempts to try to address the problems that we just talked about. The first amendment is it changed the law from previously it compared equal work and work done at the workplace by women and men. It had to be equal work if a woman was going to have a claim for an equal pay violation. The law has been changed to now make it substantially similar work. And so that really broadens the definition from what I believe to be was a very narrow one, because mm-hmm. when it was just equal work, you had situations where, say, a woman vice president who was supervising certain people or took care of certain functions within the company would bring a wage claim and she would get turned down and maybe would get thrown out because they said, well, this wasn't equal work to the work being done by a male vice president. And now with it just being substantially similar, I think that the woman would have a much better chance of succeeding in an equal pay claim. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another area that I think is really important change to this law is under the prior law, you could only compare wages earned by a woman and a man if they were at the same establishment. And the amendment has now...
The same company or the same business location?
Actually, just the same physical location.
Oh, really?
And so that would mean that you could have a woman working in a facility in the Berkeley office of the company who was not able to compare the salary that a man was earning for the same exact job in the Oakland facility of that company.
That was wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely
so,
wild.
So this is a big deal because now... Yeah. It eliminates that, and so you can compare just same positions within the company.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so it'll really help out. And then I think the third sort of major part of the amendments to this bill comes in the way of pay secrecy and trying to address pay secrecy. Mm. So part of what I think is most difficult when these gender wage gap issues come up is people don't know what other people are making at the workplace. It's not something that's often discussed.
This is supposedly confidential.
People don't feel comfortable. Mm. And so the law as it had been had actually prohibited employers from having policies that said employees could not discuss salary. But there was one study that showed actually a majority of workers still felt uncomfortable discussing salary and thought that they may be targeted for doing so.
Targeted with what? Being fired or demoted or whatever?
Yeah, some type of adverse employment action.
Wow.
And now that the law has been amended to add a anti-retaliation provision, so if workers do discuss their wages, as they're allowed to do, they can't be discriminated against or terminated against for doing so. And if they are, they have a private cause of action, meaning they can bring a lawsuit to enforce their right to be able to talk about their wages on the job.
And this was not possible prior to January 1st, 2016. Is that correct?
Right. If it happened today, you couldn't do it because it's not law yet. It goes into effect January 1, 2016.
Mm. I guess my question on this, Tom, since you and your firm represent employers, this is going to take a lot of education of employers, of companies, that they've got to get up to date.
Absolutely.
I can see a lot of problems happening here. What comments do you have from an attorney who represents employers? What do you see may well happen here?
I think you're absolutely right, Chuck. I think that employers are going to need to pay close attention to not only this law but many new laws which are taking effect in the new year. But this is going to be a game changer for gender equality in terms of pay because you aren't going to be able to rely on artificial distinctions such as job titles or maybe the difference in facilities, the distance between facilities. You're going to have to look at the reality of day-to-day job duties and comparing what people do. And it'll go into the details of the jobs that people do. So you've got to do some real homework in terms of comparing people and the work they do, perhaps preparing job descriptions for different people and figuring out exactly what the likenesses are and what your risks are so that you don't walk into a trap in terms of pay discrimination. And I think you need to be paying closer attention to what's going on from one facility to the next. And it can't be some sort of artificial barrier if you have common management going on from one facility to the next. And I think that the point that's been raised about discussion of wages is very interesting as well. There has been federal law in the National Labor Relations Act. There's been state law on the right to discuss wages. And it's basically been a matter of public enforcement. Here you have private enforcement where someone aggrieved can say, I want to sue because I've been the victim of retaliation, discrimination, because I talked about these issues. And employers, however offended they might be that someone talks about what they earn or they share that information with coworkers, and it happens all the time that employees talk about it and that employers are upset about it. I mean, many employers to this day think that employees shouldn't discuss this sacred information, and it's something private between the boss and the employee, and it's just not the case.
No, it's not in our society. This is incredible. Let me interrupt you for just a moment, if you would. For those of you listening to the live program, and we're doing this on Wednesday evening, December 30th, California time, 7 p.m., that's Pacific time. We have our Call a Lawyer night, which we do every month, and so I'm going to invite you wherever you may be in either California or the United States, since we are now on the NPR satellite. You can talk with one or more attorneys for Call a Lawyer right now by calling 800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. In a few minutes, I'll invite you to call in and speak with my guests on the air. And that number is also toll-free, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Let me come back to you, Tom, with this in terms of now there's a private right effective January 1st, 2016 to sue your firm, your business, whatever. If someone, as of January 1st, 2016 and on, sees that his or her or their employer is not honoring what we've been talking about, and there is discrimination or there is retaliation, what is our California Labor Commissioner's office going to do, if anything, if someone wanted to file a complaint with the California Labor Commissioner's office?
I would assume.
Will they do anything?
I would assume they would investigate.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And could possibly hold a hearing.
Yeah, and I think that that's where, if somebody does feel aggrieved, you have, I think, two options. If you feel that you're not earning the same amount as, say, if you're a woman and you're not earning the same amount as a male who's doing substantially similar work, you could go to the labor commissioner and file a claim there. Or you have a private right of action, meaning you could find an attorney to mm-hmm. bring the case for you. And so those are kind of your two paths that you can take.
I'm concerned that for the average person who may not feel that they have any real power at all in the workforce in their place of employment, would be very reluctant to perhaps want to complain to the labor commissioner's office or even consider filing a private lawsuit. What comments do you both have about that, to try to encourage people that, hey, the law is now going into effect to protect you? What do you have to say, Tom, about that?
There have been anti-retaliation provisions in the law for some time, and I think they are further beefed up by this legislation. But I think it's really going to be a judgment call by any individual employee. Is this worth my time? Is it worth the money to go to an agency to go to private counsel and to pursue a claim? Is it going to be worth it to private counsel to take on a case? Is there a likelihood mm-hmm. of recovery? Mm-hmm. And you know, is this a place where you want to continue to work if you are bringing litigation? Will that be a tolerable environment? And I think, you know, many employers are in this day and age accustomed to facing claims and continuing to work with individuals. But I think, you know, there's a certain amount of tension on both sides of that equation. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it is so important that employers know about this law, and not only just know about it, but really do a thorough review of the people who are working at their company and the salaries that people are getting paid. Bring it, you know, if you don't want to do it yourself, get somebody to do an audit for you, because starting January 1, in just a couple of days, if you're not in compliance with this, you do face some serious exposure. And so it is something that should definitely and hopefully has been happening at many work sites. They've been going through and making sure they're going to be in compliance with this new law.
Scott, when you say serious exposure, what are you saying? I mean, one thing obviously is the Labor Commissioner's Office for California would do an investigation. It's possible that an employee would file a lawsuit against you. What else are you thinking about when you talk about serious exposure?
Well, damages is going to differ from case to case.
Yes.
Obviously, if a woman was earning, just to use outrageous examples, $100,000 less than a man
for the same job,
substantially similar work, well, then that's a serious amount of of money right there that the company would be on the hook for if the woman was successful on her equal pay claim. And there can be attorney's fees attached to that type of claim too. So
are there any type of punitive damages built into the change in the law?
There are civil penalties available too. Mm-hmm. So I think it can get up to like $10,000 for a violation. So, you know, you definitely are going to be on the hook for a potentially substantial payout, which if you had complied with the law, then you wouldn't have to worry about.
Okay. You want to move on to the next one?
Yeah, I think we'll talk about the Family School Partnership Act. So previously this law, and this is another example where we had a law on the books which is now being amended, so we're going to talk about the amendments. The prior law said that an employee working at a work site with 25 or more employees was entitled to take up to 40 hours per year to go attend the school activity of their child. Mm. And that was job protected leave, which means you cannot be discriminated against or terminated for taking that leave to go attend a school activity of your child. The amendments here, first, it redefines some of the important terms of the bill. In particular, it changes the definition of parent, which had included things like grandparent in the past. It now expands it even further to include foster parent. It will include step parent. It will include somebody serving as in loco parentis.
What does that mean?
So that means basically somebody who's kind of has care of the child right now, but may not be gone through the paperwork to become a legal guardian. So it expands the definition of parent. It also changes the term child daycare facility to just child care provider. And that's important because maybe your kid is not in technically a child daycare facility, but is with a licensed child care provider.
I see.
So again, it's expanding the scope here. And then I think some of the most important changes come from the fact that it expands the statute to broaden the authorized reasons that you can take this leave. And so you can now take this leave if you want to find, enroll, or re-enroll your student in school or a child daycare or a child care provider. And I think what's most important is you can take job protected leave in order to address a child care provider emergency or a school emergency.
So when you talk about protected leave, does this mean that this person, this parent or this grandparent or this step parent or foster parent, whoever it is that obviously is covered by the amendment, Does this mean that this person is going to, the employer of this person has to pay this person when you have this leave?
No, so it's unpaid leave.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay.
And but employers can choose to make the employees be compensated for it via vacation time or sick leave.
Oh, I see.
And the employee can do the same to say, you know, I still want to get paid something for this time, so I'm going to take my vacation time and get paid for it.
I got it. Okay, that makes sense.
And I think the school emergency part is really important because we're seeing, I think, more schools take. It's an unfortunate thing, but schools are facing more and more threats, and I think they're taking those threats very seriously now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we saw it just a couple of weeks ago when LA Unified Schools closed entirely. That affected 640,000 students. So all of a sudden you have thousands upon thousands of parents who have to deal with picking up their child from school at the drop of a hat. You know, when they went into work that day, they didn't know they'd have to leave. So it's really important for frontline supervisors and managers to know about this so that employees who need to go and leave to pick up their child don't get discriminated against or retaliated against for doing so.
When was the Family School Partnership Act first enacted? How long ago, roughly? Do you know?
I don't know the exact
date. Because I've never even heard of it, frankly.
I think it's been about 10 years.
Is it really? And I think most people, certainly most parents, most foster parents, most step-parents, most grandparents, have never even heard of it. So this is very interesting. Let's take another very, very brief moment. I want to let you know, again, this is our monthly Call a Lawyer night, and I want you to take advantage of it. We do this every month, usually the fourth Wednesday of the month. Well, we weren't going to do it on Christmas Eve or 2 days between Christmas Eve. So in any, or pardon me, I should say Thanksgiving, excuse me. And we weren't going to do it last week because last week we were actually moving the station from a concrete building into portables, so we didn't have phones. In any event, we do have phones tonight, and we're doing this live program, and it's also live Call a Lawyer night on Wednesday, December 30th. So if you'd like, you can talk to a lawyer right now up until, let's say, about 8 p.m. Pacific time, and that's 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. And if you want to talk to my guests on the air, in just about, I would say 7 minutes or so, I'm going to invite you to actually be on the air and ask your question. And that toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Again, if you're listening to the program live on Wednesday, December 30th. All right, there's one more law you wanted to talk about in the first half hour. What was that?
If I may.
Please.
Regarding that leave issue.
Yeah.
Any employer who is concerned about this leave law, wants to know more, needs to understand that's 8 hours per month per employee of leave time that the employee is entitled to under this law to deal with these issues of school or child care and in this expanded format. And it's something that any employer with current leave policies or that doesn't have leave policies at all really needs to step it up and revise those policies to conform with this new law.
Well, what if you don't – okay, you said 8 hours per month.
Correct.
Is the permitted leave if you need it. What if you haven't used it in that month? Let's say you don't use it in January of 2016. So that 8 hours has not been used. But in February, there's a lot of problems, and you as a parent, whatever we want to call the parent, foster, adoptive parent or a step-parent or whatever, or grandparent, can you use that, what you didn't use in January, can you use that in February plus the additional hours?
I don't believe it carries over from
okay.
month to month.
Yeah, not carry over.
I think basically you have 40 hours per year, but only a maximum of 8 per month.
I gotcha.
So if the first couple of months you use up your 40, then you're not going to. Yeah, but you can never use more than 8 in a month.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's very interesting. We're doing, this is the statewide version. We have about 3 minutes left in the statewide version. Can you touch upon the third area you wanted to talk about, Scott?
Sure. The Fair Days Pay Act, and this is an act that is focused on addressing wage theft. Wage theft is a really big issue. There was a study that in L.A. alone, low-wage workers lost out on an estimated $26 million a week due to wage theft.
Wow.
And the problem is that thousands of workers do file claims for these unpaid wages, but the labor commissioner goes and will actually issue a judgment, but ultimately finds out that the corporation is defunct and the judgment is uncollectible.
Mm-hmm.
And so but part of the problem is employers who maybe know that they've done this, they funnel assets to either a different corporation or to themselves personally. And so to try to steer clear.
They like to play games. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey. Yes. Some very gamesmanship there.
Ah.
And so this law is seeking to address how do we deal with that problem. And it allows the labor commissioner to now levy a lien on the property of the employer or the employer themselves. It actually extends, kind of pierces the corporate veil, as you may, and lets you attach a sign of personal liability to an employer.
Now, this is brand new, this law.
Yes, this is
brand new. We have not had any version of this before. Is that right?
We have not ever had the labor commissioner have the ability to levy a lien on an employer. So it's a big deal as far as enforcing wage theft.
This is going to be very interesting how the gamesmanship is going to either improve or even get worse. Tom, very briefly.
This is going to really be a tough one for employers. If there's any failure to pay on an award that has gone through the claims process, it's going to be much easier for the state to come along and to, I think, really take an aggressive stand to collect the money. And things that employers might have done to try to play a corporate shell game to deceive the system, to deceive claimants, the state's going to have a lot more power to get in
there. This is very interesting, very interesting. Another very important thing to protect employees. I want to thank you both very much for joining me on the program. Employment law attorneys Tom Lenz, partner in the Cerritos, California law firm of Atkinson, Andelson, Lawyer, Rood, and Romo, also a member of the Executive Committee of the Labor and Employment Law Section, and Scott Stillman, senior counsel in the San Francisco law firm of McGuinn, Hilsman, and Pilecki. And maybe soon we'll see the name of Stillman in that title.
I hope so.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. By the way, next week, everybody, we're going to do a program on California law, landlord-tenant law, disputes and issues. My guests will be landlord-tenant attorneys Jessica Chilek and Sal Timpano. And so if you're listening to the program, wherever you may be on January 6th, we'll be doing the program live. You can call in on our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. We'll also do a Call a Lawyer night that same evening with a couple of attorneys. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Kevin Vance. Great to have you here. Production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding of the program is provided by the Trust and Estate Section of the same State Bar, pardon me, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, the San Mateo County Bar Association, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio. I wish you a very good and happy new year. Join us next time. I'm Chuck Finney.